If you smash a tombstone, do you free a ghost? If eating carrots helps you see in the dark, how many carrots before you obtain fully operational night vision eyes? All these questions you can find the answer to on this Paranormal Life. Hello, yo, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. It is a fresh week of paranormal mysteries, and I am your host, Roy Powers, joined by my co-investigator, Kit Greer. How you doing, Kit?
Doing great. Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
We had a bit of an exciting week last week, I guess it was now,
yeah,
where we were actually nominated for a British Podcast Award for Best Entertainment Podcast.
Who knew?
And we won it.
Somehow. Who
knew? No, we didn't know that part for sure. We actually managed to win the award, which was super cool. And we got to hang out with a bunch of awesome podcasters, people who are shaping the future of the audio space. You could have joined in there and helped me out, man. You saw me drowning. You saw me drowning in my own words, and you spat at me. You threw rocks at me. You could have helped.
The life float.
But we also at the awards we learned a lot. We learned a lot about what was popular. And there was one podcast on the night that cleaned up, and it was a podcast by a guy named George the Poet.
That's right, yeah.
I think he was nominated for 6 awards, won 3.
Something insane. At least 3.
It was incredible. So obviously, you know, his podcast has a lot of production value. It's well-researched. He's obviously a super intelligent guy himself.
Seems to be.
But I think it's because people like poems.
Right.
So what can we do more of on our show is poems.
And everyone said to us, guys, just be happy with your win. Like, don't worry about George. Like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, just stick to, you know, you guys are great at what you do. And we said, f*** that.
Exactly.
We want what this guy's got.
We said, roses are red, violets are blue. And they're like, stop trying to do a poem because that's not even a real poem.
You're making your own show worse.
Well, usually the only kind of poetry that I would find acceptable is slam poetry.
We've done a bit of that in the podcast before.
Yeah. Either slam poetry the form or slam poetry when you recite a poem while dunking a basket from half court.
Oh, I didn't know that's what you meant.
Slam dunk poetry.
You didn't say that. That's why.
Right. Sorry. That's probably why you didn't think of it. I didn't say it. But we're going to throw slam poetry aside. We're going to throw slam dunk poetry aside and just look at regular old poetry this week. Or should I say irregular old poetry? That's too obscure. Cursed poetry.
Oh, that's
it's a cursed poem.
Oh,
sorry.
Much,
yeah,
more
I shouldn't have. Yeah, let's not beat around the bush here. We're going to be investigating a poem so feared, so cursed, that apparently if you even read it aloud, you are going to suffer a terrible fate.
Holy shit.
This poem is called Tomino's Hell. Now, to find out how this poem became so feared, we need to look back into its origins. So let's go back to 1919, where a Japanese poet named Saijo Yasuo was working on his 27th collection of poems.
Okay, pretty prolific guy.
He's been doing this for a while. Now, Yasuo was a very intelligent man. He was a university professor, lived in France for a while, studying French poets. But despite the fact that his later work was mostly for children, it was often filled with unsettling imagery and wordplay that would nowadays be considered quite disturbing for a child to read.
Back then, there were so few poets, there were so few highly educated men like him. We had to get kids' books from somewhere.
Exactly.
So it was like, Saijo, we love your work. Is there any way for this next children's anthology you could rein it in? My little Timmy, he was a bit disturbed by the last collection, to say the least. He hasn't come out of his room for a little while. He doesn't really sleep, actually, anymore. He's
after your last story that you wrote, which I think was just not putting your elbows on the table, the story of not putting your elbows on the table, which, you know, you could write a little rhyme about, but yours, I think, said a demon would come and chew them off of your body.
So we love what you were going for, but I think it just could be a little bit more kid friendly. Is there any way you can rein that in? You're shaking your head? Okay, no.
No, no.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Listen, you're the boss. Write some more f***ed up shit, and I'll see if Timmy does any better this time around.
He's like, while you were talking, I drew this demon.
Okay. Terrifying. Wow.
Also, not a poem.
What did you study in France again?
Now, when the 27th collection of his poems was released, one poem in particular stood out against the others. This poem was called Tomino's Hell. This poem was so damn strange that people didn't even like to read it aloud. This is some creepy stuff in a collection of already pretty unsettling poems. Now, we can talk a little bit more about the story later, but essentially it was a poem about a young boy's damnation to hell as punishment for actions that aren't specified in the poem.
What has a young boy ever done to go to hell?
I don't know, man. This is what, 1919? Young boys were young men at this point.
Are you sure?
He was probably drinking, smoking, stabbing his way through his teens.
I'm not sure that's how any boys lived, at least not in like early 20th century Japan. Oh, I was gonna say this isn't that long ago, but it's terrifyingly, it is 100 years ago.
But also, you know what these old-timey books are like? You know, that they would give to children? Like, look at, who was the original Santa Claus again? Krampus?
Sure, yeah, that was a bit of a revelation on this podcast.
Like, that was a children's book, and I'm pretty sure he used to just steal kids in the night.
Yeah,
and, like,
bring
eat them. They
hell.
Were chained up in a little line. Like, we've definitely softened the edges of children's entertainment these days.
Softened the edges of Krampus, for
That's
sure.
True.
We started by completely changing his name.
Which is a really good start, because Krampus is scary as shit.
Yeah, the name alone. But yeah, there is a long history of kind of children's entertainment, if you can call it that, has always had a dark twist to it. The kind of, is it a Brothers Grimm? And all those kind of fairy tales.
Yeah.
They always had some kind of dark twist. You know, it was the Hansel and Gretel who were eaten by a witch.
That was terrifying.
Or, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, who's terrified of being torn apart by this wolf.
If anything, I think we've gotten too soft. I need, like, the inhabitants of Sesame Street, like, doing gang wars. Kermit should be, like, doing blow, showing kids the dangers of these things.
Just Kermit trying to teach about, like, gang warfare?
Like, what you want to do is, to start, stay in your own territory, and don't step on Kermit Street,
And if you run up on Kermit Street with a blue flag hanging out your backside,
you're gonna hear the rat-a-tat-tat.
But yeah, like, that was the point of children's, quote, entertainment back in the day, was it wasn't really to entertain the children. It was to scare them.
Scare them straight.
Staying inside with their mama and their papa.
Absolutely.
And staying safe.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Well, obviously, due to the poem's unsettling themes and the fact that no one wanted to read it, it slipped away into obscurity. Then, over 50 years later, in 1983, a director by the name of Terayama Shuji discovered the strange poem in Yasuo's collection and fell in love with it.
Sick bastard that he was.
Despite the horrid themes and the rumors of the poem being cursed, Shuji decided to write and direct an entire movie based on Tomino's Hell. Yeah. The poem was called Denen ni Shisu, which in Japanese loosely translates to die in the countryside. Mm. I watched the trailer for this, because you can watch the trailer on YouTube. It is genuinely creepy as hell.
Really?
There's a lot of weird demon-y stuff and naked people getting spanked and a lot of stuff I didn't quite understand or understand how it's still on YouTube. The movie was released to critical acclaim, but Shuji wasn't around for long to enjoy it. After the film was released, Shuji was rushed to hospital, suffering from cirrhosis of the liver. He died in hospital soon after. Now, this obviously only worsened the rumors surrounding this poem. Was this the wrath of Tomino's Hell? I mean, the director must have read it out loud at some point.
I guess. I mean, he kind of has to at some point. Cirrhosis of the liver definitely pushes the boundaries of what we would come to expect from a curse.
Yeah, he didn't like slip and fall or just die of a heart attack.
This isn't some Final Destination stuff, guys. This is a long protracted...
This is gradual destination.
Yes.
I mean, I very much to romanticize the story. The way I worded it, it's
was a very accelerated version of how he died. I used a lot of words like shortly after, which is ambiguous enough to not really commit to a certain amount of time.
Okay, well,
because I think it was years.
Okay,
I think there were years and years after.
Oh, so not just a couple
years. He was fine for a while. Again, I said he wasn't around to enjoy it for long. That's delightfully ambiguous.
But you said it wasn't long, but it was also years and years.
Yeah, it depends on how long you think a year is.
How long do you think a year is?
Compared to the birth of the universe,
okay.
It's a millisecond, Kit. So it's all about perspective. Compared to an ant, he'll never even see it. So you need to tell me what is my frame of reference here.
Do you even know?
I prefer to be delightfully ambiguous, sir, when I can.
Are you even listening to me at this point?
I appreciate the kind words.
Okay, these are canned responses.
Well, afraid that the wrath of the poem had taken a life, public fear increased, and the poem once again slipped into obscurity.
If there was a song that by listening to it, you became cursed. Yeah, that song's probably not going to be in the iTunes charts. It's not going to be in the Billboard Top 100.
Exactly.
It probably is going to slide into obscurity because people can't freaking listen to it.
Yeah, and as I said, this is 1983. Word of mouth is their Twitter. So if no one can tweet about it, no one's going to see it. It's just going to die. This film is weird enough. I don't think people are going to see this film. So they're not going to read the poem for sure.
Yeah, presumably this wasn't like being shown in theaters at the same time as like Ghostbusters or something like
that. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it was like, should we see Back to the Future Part 2 or Dena Nishizu to die in the countryside?
Well, I'm personally interested in the sequel to Back to the Future, but I know the kids would love Dena Nishizu to die on the countryside.
How many naked asses get spanked in Back to the Future Part 2? Does Doc slowly descend into the lower depths of hell as punishment for a crime not specified? I mean, time travel's got to be a pretty big crime, right? That's got to be a sin.
Yeah, it's funny to think of someone like reads a review for one of the movies. It's like, oh, an eccentric doc and his young accomplice travel through time to save the day. And it's like the pages of the guide were like stuck together and walks into Dena Nishizu.
Is that the Doc's apprentice? Is his little boy falling into a demon's mouth? Where's the DeLorean?
It's like, I love the first one, but they went straight out of left field with this sequel.
He like marathoned them. So the first one ends with them being like, we gotta go back to the future. And he's like, all right, here we go.
The future's a hell countryside.
Demons spanking ass. It's like, all right, it's a bit weird. Doc has not aged well.
He's also Asian for some reason.
Is that a byproduct of time travel? The poem once again slipped into obscurity. That is, until Japanese writer and film critic Inuhiko Yomata decided to include it in a book he published in 1998 called The Heart is Like a Rolling Stone. Now, knowing the legends that surrounded the poem, the book contained a disclosure written in Japanese that said, if you by chance happen to read this poem out loud, after, you will suffer from a terrible fate which cannot be escaped.
Whoa.
So now it's becoming like part of the actual print of the poem.
Yeah, like he felt he needed to include a disclaimer, which is a weird angle. I mean, if you really believe that it's going to kill someone, don't print the poem.
Hey man, we haven't read the poem yet. It could be the most beautiful, cursed thing you've ever read.
Well, so it's worth it.
because also, think about it. You can, if the poem is that great and you really love it, you can put it in the book and just say, hey, read the poem, enjoy the poem, just don't read the poem out loud. Because that's it. You can still read it, but without saying the words, I think that's what it takes to activate the curse.
Okay, so there's rules here.
Yeah. Well, eventually, as time went on, the poem ended up where all creepy, curse-inflicting things end up. The internet! A post on an online forum managed to translate the Japanese into English, which is something that I don't think had previously been done before.
Right.
Because these were all Japanese poetry books who were publishing versions of this poem. But no one had actually translated the poem into English yet.
Or at least no one had successfully done it and survived. Maybe people had tried and then immediately their liver just crapped out on them on the spot.
Ballooned up to like an entire room and then just dropped.
Could be.
Now, the exact same with the Japanese version of the story. This one came with the warning, if you read the poem aloud, you'll suffer a terrible fate. So naturally, people started reading this thing.
Hashtag Dene no Shisu read challenge. Upload to YouTube, upload to every social media platform. We're going to do it for charity, guys.
I love that, you know, through all these the generations we've been through with this poem, it never changes. People want to read this thing. They want to make movies about it. We're obsessed with anything that can kill us.
Right. It's like we're dancing the razor's edge.
Juggling with knives.
These are all things I like to do.
Absolutely. That's my weekend plans. So from that original post online, people obviously start reading it and then start replying underneath. And the replies kind of vary. Some people state they'd read it in full and they felt fine. But others mentioned panic attacks, headaches, dizziness. Right. Some people had family members or loved ones pass away shortly after. And some people who said that they were about to read the poem and would reply with whatever happened never even returned to the forum.
I mean, I don't know.
They straight up died.
Okay, we can infer that just because they didn't post in that forum again that they died.
If they gave their goddamn word,
yeah,
saying I'm gonna read the curse poem, I'll, you know, type it away. I'll let you guys know what happens.
Yeah,
BRB, G to G, mom's making spaghetti hoops, Dragon King. Why? If they sign off,
okay, that's their
that's
username.
Their username. Yeah, okay. That was their username. They've signed off. So everyone's waiting on the forms. Hey, sure. Where's Dragon King? Have you seen Dragon King? The days pass. That's weird. Dragon King usually comes online every day at 7 after spaghetti hoops. Weeks are passing now. Messages are piling up. Yeah. Where the hell is Dragon King? Yeah. He's gone. He's gone off the forums. He's gone offline. He's off the grid. He's AFK.
That doesn't mean he's dead, though.
Where is he gone? I know Dragon King didn't get a life. His name's goddamn Dragon King and he eats spaghetti hoops for dinner every night. That is going on forums.
Maybe his mom took away his forum access privileges. He sounds pretty young by the sounds of things.
Maybe his mom took away his forum privileges when his liver swolled up to a car.
Okay, so we might need to park the idea that the people who didn't post again died instantly.
That's what I think.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion. If they obviously didn't reply with what had happened, they died.
Okay.
You don't reply, you die. So, what are your thoughts so far, Kit? We got this poem that's been handed down from generation to generation. Even from the start, there was something weird about it, something upsetting. Even though it was meant for children, the director of the movie died. It now has a note that goes along with it saying you can't read it aloud or you're cursed.
I completely forgot the whole this was written for children thing. That's quite alarming.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, I don't know if it was directly written for children, but the guy wrote a lot of children's books and stories and poems.
Who is this person?
So this was a bit of a weird twist.
I feel like he really didn't want to write children's things, and that was the only place there was money. And he's like, I guess I'll write another children's book. This one's about...
Well, I got to put a child in it. Tamino, he's a little 7-year-old kid, and he's going to hell!
Okay, no. The last one was about...
he's doing devil signs.
The last one was about hell.
All right, sorry. Okay.
Listen, Tamino, little Tamino, great. The kids love to see other little kids in the book. They love reading about it. They enjoy that. But can we think of a different situation than hell?
Okay, maybe? It's about little kid Tamino.
Okay, yeah.
He's your average Joe kid. Everyone loves him.
Sure.
All the guys want to be him. All the girls want
to
date him.
Weird to say about a child. Fine.
And it's about Tamino's journey.
Sure. Where's he going? Is he going, let's think, where would kids, you know, be?
Well, I think in this story, he's going to the underworld.
Okay. Okay, you go. Any location that ends with you going,
Right.
We probably don't want to send Tamino for this children's anthology.
Okay.
What about like a play park or the beach or somewhere like that?
Being sent to the play park for what he did? Sinning bastard?
What did Tamino do?
What did Tamino do? Well, that's delightfully ambiguous.
I'm not sure exactly who the audience is for this, but hey, maybe that's... Maybe this is just where he was coming from. I mean, it could be that where did this curse originate? Maybe this author was possessed to write this stuff, was basically cursed to write these things. He didn't want to create these hellish children's books to curse generations of people with livers that are going to crap out on them.
That could be it, because he seems like a perfectly normal dude up until this very cursed poem. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe it was just channeling through him. Look, we can dance around it all day, but if we want to come to any sort of conclusion with this thing, I think there's only one thing we can do. We gotta read this poem. Kit, I have in front of me Tomino's Curse. I have the translated English version, and I am prepared to read it out now on the podcast.
You're prepared to read it?
I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna read it out loud.
Read it a la curse?
I don't know if this is gonna affect me. I don't know if it's gonna affect you.
Well, I hope not.
It can affect anyone, I think.
So that's why you're willing to do it?
I'm ready to put your life on the line and, wow, see, and see if this thing really is cursed. I'm like, all right, let's see if this thing is really cursed. I like put on my crucifix, my priest robe. I've got a shield.
Hey, bro, do I get any of those things?
Sorry, man, you should have brought your own. I really got
you
a double down.
You didn't tell me anything about this episode.
I've got a holy blade.
Okay, can we put a pause on this thing? You lock the door.
Sorry, man, you're in it now. I'm like, I'm holding, hugging the Ark of the Covenant.
Where did you find that?
I'm ready to read it out loud. So the symptoms that we're looking for that are pretty common in people who have read the story.
Okay.
The mild ones, headaches, regular aches, pains in your body.
Okay. General malaise.
Yeah, you know, kind of like a panic attacks, mm-hmm, you know, irregular heartbeats, that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Anything like that. And then the extreme version, I guess if one of us dies, that's a pretty sure sign.
Yeah.
If our family die, anything like that. Again, I'm pretty well protected because I brought all my shit.
I
think it's only fair if
I'm not.
Well, yeah, but it's only, it doesn't make any sense if we're both protected.
Why?
Because then how do we know if it works or not? Someone's got to be exposed. Well, someone's got to be protected.
How about we just get in like a little like guinea pig or something?
Well, you know, you're here. There was something earlier about loved ones, and like, I love you. You're a loved one. Uh-huh. So I figure, you know, you can go. It'll get you.
That's your attitude towards loved ones, is they can go?
Right. Well, just if we want to see if it works or not.
If that's the case, I'd rather not be a loved one. Thanks very much.
I don't want to, you know that if I could, I would give you any of this. This sword?
Yeah, huge,
I would give you
gigantic.
This holy blade if I could, man.
Give it to me right now. You've got so many other protective
artifacts. If I could just give it to you.
You
if
can.
I could just
I'm
give
right
you
here.
Sword,
I'm,
man.
I'm holding it, but you're
it's,
very
it's
tightly
it's
gripping
killing
it,
me.
In fact.
It's killing me. I can't give it to you. So just, yeah, just give that back because,
okay.
Look, if I die, look, if it gets me is the only thing. Then no one finishes the poem. I gotta finish the poem. It's
why
fine.
Do you have to finish the poem? You sound cursed now. You sound possessed.
Just let this happen, Tomino.
This sword is glowing.
Now, I will say, if it doesn't work, another explanation could be that we are reading the translated English and not the original Japanese, which some people say you need to do to activate the curse. But you know what? Let's get in this thing. Let's read this bad boy. Ladies and gentlemen listening, you have been warned. This is your last chance to turn off the podcast before you are exposed to Tomino's curse.
You should be safe because you are not reading it. However, there may be some sort of side effects that you may experience.
Yeah.
But it is primarily the host of this podcast, myself and Roy, that are in immediate danger.
And if I could, as I said, if I could give you, the audience, or Kit, just any piece of this protective gear that I have loaded
safe.
Out.
Just please, just anything. One of those rosary beads. You
I
have
would.
Seven, looks like it, seven rosary beads.
It kills me that I have to carry all of this on me. It's actually pretty heavy as shit, but
right,
I know
lighten
my...
the load,
I know
buddy.
My...
can I just at least hold one of the necklaces while you're wearing it?
I really think your luck will... neutralize the holiness of it. So I'd just rather...
What
I'd
does,
rather actually...
What does that even mean?
I'd actually rather you backed the f*** up. Just a couple steps. Because you're getting close to my sword, and I don't know if I'm going to start swinging this thing when the poem is read. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's going to come through me, so if we
doesn't
could just...
doesn't sound very holy. I don't think the Holy Spirit would want you to do that.
Who knows with these things? It might be aggravated. I got a lot... I'm dealing with a lot of shit here.
I don't think the Holy Spirit has ever been aggravated.
This helmet is from the Knights of Templar. I bought it on eBay for $2,000. I don't know. I can barely see in this thing. I don't know who's near me. I don't know what I'm going to do. So just, you need to be careful, all right? Because the tablets are heavy. I've got the holy hand grenade somewhere. I think it's in my back pocket or my other chinos.
Why a 2 grand helmet and then chinos?
Because there's no holy chinos. There's no holy pants. I got to wear my regular shit. We're getting sidetracked here, all right? Let me adjust the helmet. There you go. I can see again. Ladies and gentlemen, let's do this. Tamino's curse. Here we go. Elder sister vomits blood, younger sister's breathing fire, while sweet little Tomino just spits up the jewels. All alone does Tomino go falling into that hell, a hell of utter darkness. Without even flowers. Is Tomino's big sister the one who whips him? The hearing a bit of laughter, so that's rude to Tomino.
You're interrupting.
Yeah, but because you're laughing at me, and I'm trying to curse you here, and you won't let me do
you're
it.
You're trying to curse me?
All right, yeah, the truth comes out. I'm trying to curse you. I've wanted to host this podcast solo from day one. You must have known that by now. Remember last week when we investigated that knife? And I just threw it at you at the conclusion. You didn't catch a drift then.
You've been investigating curse after curse and none of them have worked. And now it's come to this.
Yeah, it's a bit weird for a children's poem. But it's 1919, all right? This is basically Dora the Explorer.
The war was just over. There wasn't a lot of sunshine and rainbows going around.
Is Tomino's big sister the one who whips him? The purpose of the scourging hangs dark in his mind. Lashing and thrashing him, but never quite shattering. One sure path to Avicii, the eternal hell. How much did he put in that leather pouch to prepare for his trek to the eternal hell? The nightingale in her cage, the sheep aboard the wagon, and tears well up in the eyes of sweet little Tomino. Sing, O nightingale, in the vast misty forest. He screams, he only misses his little sister. Down past the 7 mountains and 7 rivers of hell, the solitary journey of sweet little Tomino. If in this hell they'd be found, may they then come to me, please, those sharp spikes of punishment from Needle Mountain. Not just on some empty whim, is flesh pierced with blood-red pins. They serve as hellish signposts for sweet little Tomino.
Ooh. So long.
It's pretty long. I don't know. What do you think? Is that what you expected?
It was...
It's almost weirder.
It's... A lot more hellish than I expected. Yeah. I thought it would be creepy. I didn't think it would be about literally... So we had vomiting blood, Tomino getting lashed with a whip by his older sister.
Yeah.
I think you used the term Needle Mountain towards the
which
end.
Which, in any context, is going to be a pretty bad place to visit.
Yep.
Like, even if you're a freaking junkie... Needle Mountain is not going to be somewhere you want
it's
to visit.
It's not going to be a cozy place to take a nap and lie down, Needle Mountain.
No, absolutely not. The nice thing about this poem is there's actual people who have, like, I don't know, studied poetry at university who consider themselves to be experts who have broken this down like you would analyze any mm-hmm. other poem and like thought about what the original writer meant by certain things. So there's a lot of different interpretations of the story. Some are a little more literal and some are a little more, I don't know, they could be about representing different parts of life or war or death.
Mm.
But I don't know, it seems pretty much about sweet little Tomino going to hell. Some people think he killed his mom and dad. Some people think he was like having bad thoughts about his sister or something. Some really weird dark stuff that I really don't think a child should be reading.
I can't comprehend how this has anything to do with children, why any child should be reading this. But I guess maybe it's like we said before, it's like this is the warning. If you act like little Tomino, sweet little Tomino,
yeah,
you're going to go to Needle Mountain.
You're going to Needle Mountain, you little bastard. That's what the parents were saying to their kids.
I was 19 parenting.
Because that's, I mean, you could see how this would work, you know? Your kid is gets chucked out of school for throwing rocks or something. And, you know, you're walking home from school and you're talking to your kid and you're like, you know, what happened today? What you did reminds me of sweet little Tamino.
Oh.
You know, you can kind of work that into it. And they're like, oh, who is sweet little Tamino, Papa? He was a naughty boy just like you. And it's like, oh, like me. What happened to sweet little Tamino?
And the kid's licking a big old lollipop at this point.
Yeah, it's like, well,
he's having a nice time.
He was punished for his wrongdoings. And it's like, oh, like I'll be punished. And it's like, no, not quite as bad as what happened to Tamino. Tamino went to Needle Mountain. Tamino was spanked by his sister. Tamino drowned in the rivers of hell. And it's like, oh, that sounds awful. And then it's like, oh, so if you don't change your ways, you're getting a one-way ticket to Needle Mountain, you little son of a bitch. That's, sorry.
I kind of lost your temper there in the end.
You kind of, I made the story redundant because I just yelled at the child.
I feel like this line of parenting is almost counterintuitive, though, because all the poetic techniques and literary devices here are too complex for young children to understand. And the kids would probably be far better punished by saying, if you act like little Tamino, you won't get any sweets.
Yeah.
That's hell for children. Needle Mountain for frickin' toddlers. They don't understand getting whipped and all the rest of it.
But again, I guess it's like it's a frame of reference, isn't it? So 1919, maybe this was it. It was a bit more, like, even the way kids spoke back then was a bit more romantic and old Englishy. So maybe it was more like, he hath gone down thon path, you know, a bit more played up. Not just Tamino don't get no chocolate milk after din-dins. It had to be like written in a very romantic way.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much has changed since then. I guess a lot.
I mean, we just read the poem in full.
How do you feel?
I feel all right, I think. I didn't notice anything immediately. I got a little short of breath, I guess, at the end. But I was on a tear. I was really getting into that by the end of the story. I'm not sore. I don't have any headaches. I feel pretty untouched. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm immune to any of the longer form effects of this curse. Yes, granted, I am in a priest's robes with a magical shield, a holy sword, and tablets. You are the one that's fully exposed. Do you feel any effects at all of Tamino's hell?
I feel cold.
Okay.
I feel...
That's actually pretty weird because it's usually pretty damn hot in this room.
I feel cold. I think I feel my lips going blue.
Okay, that's really bit. Also really
that
cold.
That could be, yeah. Actually, I'm freezing.
Wow.
Yeah.
At the start, I thought you meant like a chill.
No, I can't feel anything at this point actually anymore.
Is it getting? It sounds like it's getting worse as you're talking to me.
Because
at the start you said a little cold.
Pretty much.
And now you're saying you're completely numb.
I think all my digits need to be amputated.
So this
I don't think I can move anything anymore.
A lot quick. You're freezing over as you're looking at me. Ladies and gentlemen, let it be known that while I remain perfectly safe, Kit has frozen
please,
solid.
The sword. Let me use this. Let me touch the holy sword.
I'm sorry. I wish I could give you the sword, man.
Just one touch.
The what? I can't hear you.
The sword. Let me
You're bored?
Touch the
I'm wrapping
sword.
Up. I'm wrapping up. I wish I could give you any of this shit, but I can't. Enjoy Needle Mountain, asshole.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So it's safe to say that for us, not much of an effect.
Not much of an immediate effect. We don't have any immediate evidence on that one.
But I had a little hunt online for some recent replies and comments about reading this story, just to see if this thing is still kicking about, if it's still cursed. I went on a couple different websites and found a couple different comments from people who read the curse out loud. I should warn you, some of them are weird, some of them are not so weird. You know, you got to pick from everywhere when you're investigating the paranormal.
Of course.
Hero Brian Winter said, "If you are a Christian, I suggest don't read this at all. Reading this both ways will summon demons out to hunt you."
What does he mean, reading it both ways?
I think in English and in Japanese.
Okay, so either way. Right.
Either way will apparently summon demons to hunt you.
Wow.
They never mentioned that before.
Yeah.
They mentioned like a bit of a headache, pains, not a like a demon assassination squad.
It seems to be applying some kind of like religious paranormal science to this,
which will always come in when we're talking about curses, I think, to a certain degree.
Yeah, so like what's causing the health problems, what's causing the headaches, what's causing the deaths, is it a legion of demons? Very possibly.
We can't see them. We don't know. Jessica said, "I read it and my mother now has an allergy to peanuts." Her loved ones and family being affected by the curse.
Once again, need to know the time scale on that.
Moving on. Kai said, "I read it in both English and Japanese and nothing happened to me. It's all good, fam. We won't die. Shit won't happen." So Kai read it in both. He seems pretty confident in his pronunciation of the Japanese.
Pretty ballsy.
And he says he's fine. But Allopixel 100 said, "My boyfriend read this aloud in a different building entirely, and I ended up throwing up. I told them about it, and they admitted that they had read it. It might just be a coincidence, but it's still scary. I'm suddenly crying, and I've seen that this is happening to other people, too."
Weird.
Yeah, I guess maybe her and her boyfriend promised they wouldn't read it, and then she was just in class and went, "Ugh!"
Yeah.
And then called her boyfriend and was like, "Did you read it?"
He's like, "Yeah, why? What, did something happen?"
So I threw up everywhere. Your loved ones being affected.
I like to think that Kai, it's like, he seems to be really ballsy about it and he seems to be unaffected, but looks like he hasn't logged in 6 months. So I guess he died immediately after writing that.
I didn't see a reply comment from any of these people, so I assume they're all gone. They're all dead, probably. This girl, I think, just sicked up her own heart and died right while she was writing this, probably.
Probably.
So we've got a variety of people. You know, Kai's going strong, but a couple of these other people are crying, vomiting, having allergies pop out of nowhere for peanuts.
I mean, you potentially getting a curse and then your mom developing a peanut allergy is pretty low stakes in the curse game.
I don't know, man. If you threw a peanut at me right now, I might drop dead. I don't know how it's affected me.
That's pretty true. Imagine if that was the only effect of this curse. We just developed mysterious allergies and we had no idea what they were.
Yeah, that's the shittiest curse of all time. I realize tomorrow I'm now lactose intolerant. It's like, God damn it. I can't even really say that was a curse.
This is a minor inconvenience for the rest of my life.
Tomino! All right, look, let's start wrapping this bad boy up because we've read the poem. We've read the testimonies of people that have read the poem. And we know all about the history of this bad boy. Kate, what are your thoughts? Where are you at?
This is pretty badass. We haven't got the chance to talk about something so specific as a cursed piece of literature. I love that idea. The idea that this guy wrote so many different pieces of work in his lifetime, but there was just something in his entire bibliography that just jumped out of the page. Maybe it was written in goddamn blood, but just whoever read it just said, "This is satanic as shit."
That's pretty impressive.
And we need to reproduce it and show people. And it also speaks to kind of this morbid fascination that people have. It's also kind of interesting, like Japan is famous for creations of horror in cinema, in manga, in literature that there's like Japanese masters of the horror genre. So it's kind of interesting that they would have someone in the world of poetry being able
children's
to,
poetry
children's poetry to be able to create something so creepy. I suppose the difficulty in this is we have something that is bona fide very, very creepy, bona fide curse-like writing, and I don't even want to know what it's like in the original Japanese. This translation was really good, it seemed like, but the difficulty is how can we prove that this has some kind of paranormal effect, and it isn't just some kind of psychological placebo, that enough people have told each other that it's going to have an effect on you that they kind of just believe it into happening.
Yeah, especially a lot of those ones where it's like, oh, I read it and like my heart was racing. Like that's not really an effect of
a
curse.
So you got a bit excited, potentially.
You're scared because you're reading a poem that you think is going to curse you. Like a lot of those, I think, can be explained. So that does make sense.
That's definitely a risk that you run in this instance. And we've touched upon it with other curse stories in the past. It does, even when you've got, like we have with the Curse of Tutankhamun, the Curse of the Hope Diamond, and others, even when you've got a number of deaths attached to one curse object, it's really hard to pin down why someone died.
It is, yeah. And I mean, we've investigated curses that have claimed a lot more lives than this one, which is pretty much only one that can be confirmed, the director, and he died quite a while after the movie was released.
Well, you never told us, but we sort of assumed that was the case.
It was years. It was years and years and years afterwards.
Okay,
but,
so now it's years and years and years.
To the birth of the universe, right, the birth each of the year universe. Is a microsecond.
Tiny.
It's tiny.
Fine.
You couldn't even see it.
What about compared to us, our lifetime?
It's pretty long. It's over 300 days for sure. Which I consider to be pretty damn long. Like, if you were 10 years old, it would be like 6/10 of your life.
So it was.
I don't want to say how many years it was.
So it was 6 years.
It was around 6 years. Yeah, that's quite a long time, I suppose.
A huge number
of years.
But
compared to when the dinosaurs roamed the earth to now, that's barely even a scratch on the time spectrum.
It's exactly 10 million times less than that.
But it is thousands and thousands of days, more than thousands of days. So it's quite a while if you look at it, if you break it down into like the day to day, like hours, I don't even know, man, like hundreds of thousands. It's crazy. It's super long.
Point being, it's very difficult to connect that death with that poem.
Yes. If he died the day after or during production, sure, that's pretty convincing.
Pretty convincing.
But alas, he did not.
It is. There's something pretty creepy, though, about the fact that the poem itself, people attached warnings to it down the line. There's something kind of cool that the original author never said, don't read it out loud. He just wrote it and it was evil. And then people discovered that there was something crazy wrong with it. It wasn't like Tutankhamun where they had up the seal that said, if you enter here, you'll die.
Yeah.
There's no warning on this thing. We don't know if it's going to give us a peanut allergy. We don't know if it's going to send our souls to purgatory forever.
Or God forbid, Needle Mountain.
Needle Mountain, hang out with little Tamino.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, is going to be, he's the one flogging you with the whip.
which is kind of cool because if he had written it and had been like, by the way, this is super cursed, we could have been like, okay, he wrote it as like a ghost story or to get some more publicity, like that was the gimmick behind it. But as you said, he just wrote it and it was scary as shit, and other people said this is cursed. It's a very scary little poem. Like, it is quite unsettling to read because there's nothing directly horrible in it, but a lot of the imagery and stuff that it mentions is, yeah, it's not very nice. It does make you feel a little uneasy.
It definitely does.
And I think a lot of people are, I don't know, instead of realizing that they're just visualizing a lot of horrible things, they think it's some sort of curse taking effect in their brain and affecting their body. I don't know about you, but if we had read this and something had happened to me pretty soon afterwards, maybe I would be swaying over to the yes side. But I think it's going to be a no for me this week.
You'd be on your deathbed with a thumbs up, like it's a double yes this week. Yeah, I completely agree. As always, we need more evidence on this show. Fascinating poem, fascinating curse, but we just don't have enough to say that this has had some paranormal effect. It's a no.
It's a double no. But hey, everyone listening to this podcast, I absolutely encourage you to check out this poem online. If you're feeling courageous enough, read it out yourself. If you're confident in your Japanese, read out the Japanese. I think that's the one that really gets things going. And let us know if you are cursed or your liver swells up like a hot air balloon. Just let us know what's going on and maybe we'll change our minds. But regardless, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of This Paranormal Life. You know, we do a lot of different things on this podcast. We investigate the paranormal. Sometimes we investigate poems. Maybe we're not the smartest podcast out there. But do you think George the Poet is reading cursed poems, risking his life on his podcast?
Oh, actually, I'm just on iTunes. It looks like he's got several episodes actually about it. He's actually got a two-part series on this poem.
On Tomino's?
Yeah, on Tomino. Yeah, it looks like he has some pretty illuminating thoughts on it.
So he read it?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Before
And actually, before his us. Career seems to be going pretty well since the poem.
Shit. Because our numbers are down.
Yeah.
Like, since the award, I don't know how that works.
I'm watching them right now. They are just
plummeting. Damn. The TPL stock is just dipping massively. When they said I was going to Needle Mountain, I thought they meant there was going to be a spike in numbers. Like, we were going up, 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 baby. But it turns out hell is down. And we have been plummeting since episode one. So, yeah, let me know if you are affected by the cursed poem. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of This Paranormal Life. If you want to get in touch with us, whether you want to let us know what happened when you read the poem, or you have a case you want us to investigate, just pop us an email at thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. You guys know where to find us. It's not too hard. And as always, if you want a little bit extra, a little bit on the side, Maybe you're a naughty little boy like Tomino. You haven't had enough paranormal sweets. You want to dip your hand in the bowl. We're not going to punish you for
it. We're not going to curse you for it.
Absolutely not. We're not going to spank you because we have a whole bowl of bonus episodes ready for you to gobble up, little Tomino. That's right, on our Patreon for just $5 a month. You can get access to a whole bunch of bonus episodes that we've been making for hell, a year now, so that's quite a few episodes. And even below that, for $2, what you can do is get yourself a very special shout out on the podcast, which we're going to do right now for a bunch of our patrons who've supported us in the past.
That's right, special thank you to Norm Nelson.
Nelson is anything but the norm. He's actually pretty abnorm. He's a unique guy. He's the kind of Nelson that you want on your team. He's like a vintage coin.
The full Nelson, if you will.
The full Nelson. We're glad to have you on board, Mr. Nelson. And thank you for your support.
Thank you also to Joe Stevenson.
Joan, stop! But Steven! Wow! It's Joe. He's here. He is Steven. He's got me believing that his support is never ending. Joe, I don't know where you came from. And I don't know how you got your dirty money. But I'm gonna take it, and I'm gonna spend it on paranormal gear to hunt beasts. Whether they're cryptids, or buffalo, whatever it takes, buddy, to make an episode of this podcast. So thank you.
Thanks also to Sean Hannon.
Sean Hannon's always hanging around the alleys. You know, hanging around the street corners, rolling dice, playing cards. He's got one of those butterfly knives. But he's not very good with it. He's like cutting up his fingers. He's had to go to hospital a couple times because he tried to do some of those cool tricks and just jabbed himself with it.
Weird life choices. Cards, butterfly knives.
Yeah, he's not quite gambling because it's no one's playing with him. He's more of like a magician with a knife.
Go back to school, Sean.
Sean, I don't know how you're hustling people for this money, but we appreciate the support. Thank you.
Thanks also to Matthias Jensen.
Matthias Jensen with the paranormal pension. That's right, when his company came around and said, do you want us to, you know, invest some of your paycheck into a pension for further? He said, hell no, I'm going to invest in one thing, the paranormal. And he just picked up his payslip and threw it out the window.
Whoa.
Which was weird because that's not investigating the paranormal. I think it was more of a statement. But
it looked cool at the time.
It did, but that was smart. Like $2,000 down the... He almost lost the house that month because he couldn't pay the rent because he was investigating the paranormal.
I think investing in the paranormal is like the closest thing to that is like the ancient Egyptians building those big ass tombs full of just like shit for the afterlife.
Yeah, pointless and expensive. But thank you for your support.
Thanks also to Jim's band.
This is actually the name of Agent 008. James Bond. He never actually passed the test required to become a secret agent, but they all kind of felt bad for him. So they gave him a gun with no bullets in it and sent him on a mission, which was just to go have as much fun as possible. Mm-hmm. So he's just been kind of roaming around telling people he's a spy because he's not very good at keeping it a secret either. He's like, he just walks into a room and they're like, oh, sir, nice to meet you. 008, James Bond, secret agent. And they're like, I just wanted to know if I could take your coat, sir. I'm on a mission to have fun. Okay, thank you. Good to, yes, thank you, sir.
Is he always like that? He's always been like that.
He's always been like this. But hey, if some of that mission money ends up in our pockets, James, then you've got the license to thrill my heart.
Thank you also to Julia Puddicombe. Julia Puddicombe lives in a honeycomb. She evicted a whole bunch of bees. Apparently you just blow smoke in there. They can't really handle smoke.
Yeah, that's not evicting bees. I think that kills them.
In the instant those suckers left the hive, she moved right in. Really upscaled the place, painted the place white, you know, got some real minimal furniture in there, made the place really sing.
Because she tried to legally evict a bunch of bees before this.
Yeah.
She tried to put up the eviction notice on the beehive and just hammered that thing. It exploded.
It cracked open.
Bees came out everywhere. And
the property itself was ruined.
There was. And the bees unleashed their stingy wrath. So now she's like, I'm going to evict via gas. That'll do it.
Cruel but effective. Yeah. I think you would make a shrewd business person. So thank you, Julia, for your support. Thank you, lastly but not leastly, to Ethan and Patrice.
Ethan and Patrice were actually two of the paranormal investigators I first went hunting with.
Really?
Yeah, we were out in the woods camping one night looking for the chupacabra. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like 3 a.m. We heard like rustling noises and roaring. And
That'll be him.
I freaked out, man. I just, still in my freaking sleeping bag, just jumped out of the tent. And I'm in a panic. I'm zipping that thing up again. Mm-hmm. They're clawing at the fabric. They're trying to undo the zip.
Yeah.
I'm like, boys, I'm sorry. Only one of us is getting out of here. So I take a couple steps forward. Then I see they're starting to get the zip undone. I go back. I zip it up. I padlock that thing. Yeah. You know, boys,
And you've got all the supplies, all the weapons, everything you would need to keep the Chupacabra Bay the tent.
Yeah, everything to capture and tame the beast, I'm taking with me because I need it. Bait doesn't need equipment, all right? So I'm running for the hills here. I didn't realize that we're literally like 10 feet from a school football field. What I saw was the school mascot taking a whiz 3 feet from the goal line. But it's a funny story now, and I'm glad to see they've forgiven me, which is quite nice.
I guess they have.
Well, at least they got out of the tent. That's pretty good. That's a good start.
That's a great start.
So thanks, guys, and thank you to everyone that we read out today who has supported us on Patreon. Now, if you're waiting for your shout-out, don't worry. We got a bit of a chunk to get through, but we're getting through them every episode. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode on Tomino's Hell, and we will be back next week with a brand new terrifying paranormal tale.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.